Brenda Craven. Pastor Joe is away this week, and he asked me to step up and bring the message today. So I was telling him Wednesday that I'm glad he put the pulpit back. There was a table here, so it was like, thank you for putting the pulpit back, because I can duck if I need to. But I am honored to be able to be up here and speak to the body of Christ this morning. Thank you. We've been talking a lot about kingdom power, authority, kingdom honor. I'm going to step away from what Pastor Joe has been teaching the past few Sundays. I feel like he's opened that can of worms so he can finish dumping the can out and put the lid on it. So I'm staying away from that. That's his baby. So we're going to take a little break this week. However, we're going to still stick with the subject of the kingdom. I'm going to put a little twist on something today, and I think you guys will have a little fun today with this. And pretty much what I'm going to talk about are you in the kingdom mafia or are you a target? So I'm a person who loves acronyms, taking letters of words and putting meaning to them. So today this is going to be a lot of acronyms, and you're going to be familiar with them because a lot of the acronyms I'll be using today will be taken from what we know from our world system government. And I will be expressing what those departments are in the kingdom government. My scripture is coming from 1 John 3:8, and I'm reading this out of the Living Bible paraphrased. I love the way the Living Bible reads. It just makes it so much clearer. And 1 John 1:8 out of the Living Bible says, "But if you keep on sinning, it shows that you belong to Satan, who since he first began to sin has kept steadily at it. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Now, the word was made manifest and dwelt among us, and the purpose for the manifestation was to destroy the works of the devil, which brought about redemption and salvation. The Son of God is now manifest within each and every one of us in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that same purpose of manifestation rests with us to destroy the works of the devil. Now, in order for this to happen, we are called to become members of the kingdom mafia. Mafia is described defined in the Bible is as a group of people, especially a group of people of similar interests or backgrounds prominent in a particular field or enterprise. So that sounds a little familiar. It sounds almost like the ecclesia. It's assembly. It's an assembly. Now, if the word mafia is capitalized, then we're talking about the organized crime group that we all are familiar with. But we are talking about the group of people with similar interests or backgrounds prominent in a particular field or enterprise. Okay, we are all called to become members of the kingdom mafia. If you take the letters in the word mafia, M-A-F-I-A, in the kingdom, that comes to mean ministry and faith in action. God has assembled this group of assassins and hit men and women to take out the opposition, who is our adversary. The devil has set up a strong prohibition to God's people and the spreading of his word, but his mafia members have been well-trained and equipped to destroy every camp, warehouse, storehouse, and safe house of the enemy. We are the assembly, and we are set up to reestablish the legislations of the registrations and law of God upon this earth. That's what we have been called to do. Adam and Eve allow that responsibility to be taken away, but now it is up to us, the ecclesia, to reestablish and reinforce it upon the earth now. Now, if you notice, the last two letters in Mafia, IA, and what I had put in that acronym says in action. So we must move and activate what God has called us to do in order for his commands to be carried out. So it means we must be in action in order for these things to take place. Now that we realize that we are the mafia, we are God's hitmen set out to destroy or to take out the enemy or anything that comes against the kingdom of God, this group has to be funded. And it is funded and controlled by the FRB. Most of us know this in the world system is the Federal Reserve Bank. In the kingdom of God, it's called the Faith Released Bank. It's the releasing of our faith that results in our blessings, our power, and authority being activated. When it is released verbally, the impossible becomes possible. And doors that were once locked and impenetrable become easily accessible. That's one of the keys. That's one of the keys of the kingdom is our faith. The enemy can no longer keep us out of his territory. We have free reign. And as long as we trust, believe, and have faith that God holds all wealth in his hands, we know that our missions are fully funded in every way. So God has us covered. He's not going to send us out and give us a mission and not equip us or fund us in order to carry out what he has called us to carry out. Our faith is one of the keys that God has given us to unlock the doors that have been shut to us for centuries. When we speak in faith with the kingdom, authority, and power that has been given to us and believe what God has promised us to be true, then what has been taken away and held has to be released. It has to be released. And when we speak in faith, this is what happens. Justice replaces injustice. Love replaces hate. Righteousness replaces unrighteousness. Health replaces sickness. Prosperity replaces poverty. Authority and boldness replaces fear. And in order to protect the kingdom and in order for us to establish here on earth what God has called us to establish, we must be able to stand and we must be able to speak in faith those things that God has required and has declared for us to speak. Okay, so now we know that we're the mafia. We're funded by the FRB, which is the Faith Release Bank. Now, when we get out of hand sometimes and with our spending, and this could be financially, spiritually, and emotionally, because we all know about getting out of hand and spending financially. Spiritually, you can get out of hand spending spiritually as well. And a lot of times we do that and don't even realize it, and we wear ourselves down, spiritually so, especially when you have people that drain from you constantly. Emotionally, you can do the same thing. But when we get out of hand in our spending financially, spiritually, and emotionally, the IRS steps in. We all know that as the Internal Revenue Service. But in the kingdom of God, it's called the I Repent Sanction. When we let our flesh get out of hand, things begin to stop flowing and or weaken. The ministry, the anointing, your health, your finances, your prayer life, and finally your relationship with God begins to falter. When all this comes into play, the I Repent Sanction is placed on you. Now, sanctions can be good or bad. Most of the time when we hear in our government here, the world system government, we hear about a sanction, it's usually a bad thing. And it's usually we've imposed a penalty or limitations on another country or on something else which limits our communication and our revenue and trade with them. So authoritative permission, sanction is defined in the dictionary as authoritative permission or approval, as for an action, something that serves to support an action or a condition, or to impose a sanction on would mean to penalize, especially by way of discipline. So how many times have we stepped out of line and became disobedient and had that sanction placed on us? Not a fun place to be. But not all occurrences that we have are sanctioned. A lot of times we run into the mistake of when things begin to go wrong or when we end up on the short end of things, sometimes have the tendency to begin to think, okay, Lord, what did I do wrong? What is it that I need to change? Or even other people will say, well, you must have done something wrong, like in Job's case. But a lot of times when things happen, it's for God to be glorified in it. A lot of times it's his opportunity to shine in it. And a lot of times we have to realize that it's not necessarily anything that we've done, but it's God presenting that opportunity for him to be magnified and glorified in that situation. So not all things are because of disobedience or because of something you've done. A lot of times it's just God wanting to make sure he's glorified in the situation or to prove himself. As I mentioned, Job, he went through quite a bit. He lost everything he had. Most people who read the book of Job pretty much concentrate on what he had before, what happened when he lost everything, and what happened when he got everything back. But in between the him losing everything and him getting everything back, there's something that's missed there. And when you go back and you read Job, especially the chapters 38 to 41, Job's friend Elihu was probably the youngest one out of the rest of them that were there. And he was probably the one that came the closest to explaining to Job what was going on with him. But what happened was, if you read through Job, you will find that his friends kept accusing him and saying, well, you must have did this wrong, and you must have did this wrong, and you had to have done this. And Job got into the phase of starting to defend himself. He started saying, well, I did this, and I was this, and I did this, and I was an elder, and I, you know, and then the younger people came along, and then they began to do this, so I'm not as functional as I used to be. And he started finding these excuses. He didn't blame God, but he started defending himself more. And in chapter 38 to 41, God begins to talk to Job, and he begins to question Job. It's like, were you there when I created the earth? Can you catch Leviathan? And you know, did you create this? Or how could this be? And Job opened his eyes and realized that, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for not really, really recognizing who you were and understanding that you are in control of everything. And so a lot of times we have to realize that too. You know, when things happen and people start, begin to start putting on you, well, you must have done something wrong, or you must have done this, or, you know, there's sin in your life. You know, it's like, well, you know what? God's in control. God knows. God's going to bring me through it. And that's all that matters. I just need to do what God told me to do. And focus on him. And not focus on defending yourself, but focus on him and keep your eyes on him and let him bring you through the situation. Thank you, Lord. So now we know that we've got a protective system that when we get out of hand, we have the IRS that steps in and puts a sanction on us to steer us back where we need to be. The one department that will be most help with this resolution of the issue is the FBI. We all know that as the Federal Bureau of Investigations, but in the kingdom, that is fed by inspiration. If you've been feasting daily on the inspired word of God, then you will have the knowledge, wisdom, and strength to endure the process needed to get you out of that sanction. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration. So if we read the Bible and we have that word inside of us, then guess what? We are inspired. We are inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, and once again, I'm using the Living Bible. It says, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. So the thing is, when we are inspired by Him and we have the Word of God inside us, we want to do everything that we can to please Him. If you're inspired by someone, if you're an athlete and you're inspired by your coach, you're going to do everything you can to please him and to make sure he's proud of you. If you're inspired by your parents, you're going to do everything you can to not make them upset and not make them unhappy, but you're going to do everything you can to make them happy and make them pleased. That's the same thing with coaches, teachers, bosses. So if we're inspired by the Word of God and have that inside of us, then that's what we want to do, is we want to please Him. So we have the FBI, Fed by Inspiration Department, that will help us pull us out of that sanction. Once we get to that point and realize that we want to please God, we will do whatever it takes to get ourselves free, and to get back in line with what God wants us to do. Amen? Okay. So, we have talked about the mafia. We've talked about the FRB, which is the Faith Release Bank. We've talked about the I Repent section. We've talked about the Fed by Inspiration Department. So now, we are backed and well guarded by a special elite force called the CIA. We know it in our world system as the Central Intelligence Agency. In the kingdom, this is called Christians in Action. This group of well-trained and battle-ready individuals cover God's mafia with protection through prayer, fasting, and any means necessary, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. The good thing about these people are this group does not sit back and wait for things to happen. They make things happen. Sometimes putting themselves on the line for the furthering of the ministry or mission at hand. So the Christians in Action, those are the ones that cover in prayer, fasting. You can put your praise and worship teams in that category, because the praise and worship teams are usually the ones that come in before and they open the way. And if you look in the Bible, the praisers were the ones that always went before in every battle. And a lot of times before the army even got to their destination, the battle was already over with. And it's because as the praises went up, God was able to work. Most of you, how many of you in here has been in the military? I know Brian has. Okay. There's a formation they call as a wedge formation. And you see it in a lot of times when they do flyovers with military planes, they're in a wedge formation. And It's a strategic formation. The people at the front point are the ones that bust through the front lines first. You've got the others that push through behind. And as you get to the widest part at the back of that wedge, they can spread out a perimeter and surround the enemy. And that's a very strategic and effective formation. And in the kingdom, that's the way it is too. We have those in front. We have your pastors and your lay people and your evangelists and those that are out in the forefront that are pushing through. And your praise and worship team is right there at the beginning. They push through. You have your pastors, your evangelists that come through after that push the way. And behind there, you have everyone that's supporting, praying, fasting, on their knees and steadily being in their word and covering everybody in prayer. That is a very strategic point. I mean, that's a very strategic thing for us because we have to be able to support the kingdom. And we must follow through. James 5:16 says, admit your faults one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. So what he's saying here is not necessarily do we have to reach out and just confess everything to everybody. I've been in a church that, been part of a church that their standing or understanding of that was you're supposed to, whenever something goes wrong, you're supposed to go and confess it to your brother and sister. And I had to go back and read and study that again because it was like, you know what? Not necessarily, no. You know, God is the one you confess and repent to, and he's the one that takes care of it. Now, if you have an issue that you're having trouble with, and you need someone to be able to come in and help you with it, then yes, call your brother and sister and say, I'm having a problem with this issue. Can you please help me? Can you please help me pray through this and help me get through it? Then yes, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. So we are accountable for our brothers and sisters. We are. A lot of people say, no, you know, I'm not accountable for my brother. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Okay. So, we have the Christians in action who are well-trained in battle and ready to cover God's ministry and faith in action with protection. So now, we have some of the older, more seasoned mafia members who have decided to retire to the SS, which we know as Social Security, in our world system. In the kingdom system, this is the Sanctified Saints group. We have many that figure they've done their time and now it's time to sit back and let the more youthful members take over. Not so. Sanctified Saints, your teaching and wisdom are still needed to train the younger members. They will be destroyed without your knowledge and guidance. So step up to your rightful place as elders. There is no retiring in the kingdom. You must not be able, or you just may not be able to do as much, but your knowledge and your wisdom and your teaching are always needed. And I think a lot of times in our churches, we look at elder people and older people and, you know, decide, well, you know, they're older now, and so, you know, they've done their time, so we'll just send them on the pew, and they can be here if we need to call on them. But there is a wealth of information that can be obtained and received from them. They've been through the fight. They've been through the battles. Who else to teach you strategy and to teach you how to get through those battles than them? Amen. Our moves and positioning are watched and strategically placed by the DOD. In our world system, that's known as the Department of Defense. In the kingdom, it's known as disciples on duty. As leadership within the mafia, through the Holy Spirit, they will assist in strategic planning to capture and destroy the enemy. So our disciples on duty, in Matthew 28, it tells us that that was our command. We are to go out and to make new disciples. We are to strengthen the kingdom. We are to strengthen the army of God so that we can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So within the ministry in faith and action, the disciples on duty through the Holy Spirit will assist in strategic placement to capture and destroy the enemy. And one of the things I've always talked about was that when we are where we should be in the Lord and the Holy Spirit is controlling us, he elevates us up over every situation. He puts us at a vantage point to where we can see what's happening below. We can see what's set up. We can see the snares. We can see the pits that are out there that we can fall into. So now we've talked about pretty much most of the inside groups. Now let's talk about our weapons. Our weapons are supplied by the NRA. We know that as the National Rifle Association. In the kingdom, it's called the Never Run Away Organization. This is a secret organization that only those associated with God's ministry and faith in action know about. The weapons are the most powerful in the world. The supply of ammunition is endless. The weapons have never failed. But there have been some users who were not well informed on the use of the weapon and the ammunition, causing backfire and injury to themselves and those around them. The ammunition is our faith, the power and authority of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, prayer, fasting, obedience, praise, and your testimony. Most people, when talking about overcoming, will refer to Revelations 12:11 that says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony. One thing is they don't read the last part of that verse. The last part of that verse says, and they did not love their own lives, but they gave them or laid them down for God. So most people will read the first part of that verse and just totally ignore the last part. That's a very special part of that verse, because that's a stipulation. They didn't love their lives more than anything else. They put their lives aside and laid it down for God. So that's one of the key things for overcoming. So the ammunition was everything I listed there. The weapon is your mouth. Those things have to verbally come out of your mouth. Your faith, you speak in faith. Your prayer, you speak from your mouth. Your praise comes from your mouth. Your testimony comes from your mouth. This combination has brought nothing but victory through the ages and has never failed. So if your weapons and ammunition are fail-safe, you should never run away from your enemy. And a lot of people have said, if you look at look what Ephesians chapter 6 says about the armor, everything's covered but your back, and that's because you're not supposed to turn around and run away, but that God and the angels have your back. So everything that needs to be covered is covered because you're to face your enemy and not run away from him. Also in that, the Lord in Ephesians 6, in verse 11, 13, and 14, he states three times, not once, not twice, but three times, that we need to stand. We're not to run away. And I remember one Wednesday night, I had mentioned this, but out of the armor that we have, there's two parts of that armor that is mobile, and that's your shield and that's your sword. Everything else is on, and it's to stay there. Your shield and your sword are movable so that you can move them to whatever area that you need to move them to. If your faith needs to come over here and block something, you can move it. If it needs to block something here, you can move it. Your sword is also mobile. That's the word of God. You can use that in any situation that you need to as well. Your salvation is set. Your righteousness is set. The gospel of God, the preparation of the gospel of God is set. Your truth is set. So all of those are set permanently. They're immobile. But your shield and your sword, you can move around to use them wherever you need to use them. Now, should you get lost in the middle of all the fighting, don't worry, because you have a GPS system. We know it as global positioning system. But in this case, that's God's positioning system. His word. That will get you back on the road and map your route without error. But you must depend on it at all times to make sure you don't veer off track, out of formation in enemy territory. There are a lot of times when we decide we're in enemy territory, and a lot of times I think it's a matter of fear of or intimidation. We feel like maybe we're better off over here. So we veer off over here, or sometimes we think, okay, you know what, I think I can do better over here, so we veer off and we move to another position. And sometimes that gets us out from under the covering of God. And when we get out from under the covering of God, that leaves us open. Not only does it leave you open, but a lot of times it leaves the rest of the people that are fighting with you open when you're out of position. Because God has strategically placed you there for a reason. And a lot of times that's with our gifts. If God has given you a gift to healing, that's where he wants you. That's where he needs to use you. Someone else may have a gift of prophecy. Someone else may have a gift of dreams or interpretation of dreams. And a lot of that we'll get into later, because it gets into a lot of different things. But wherever God has placed you, he has placed you there strategically for a purpose and for a reason. And that's where we need to stay. And when we venture off and try to go fill someone else's position and move out, then yes, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. I've used the example of a chicken or a hen and her chicks. When she's in the yard and danger's imminent, she'll send out a cry and all her chicks run to her. And they'll get up underneath her, and she'll cover them with her wings to protect them so that they're invisible to the enemy. And that's the way it is with us. A lot of times, you know, people think real bad about retreat, you know, say, well, you don't want to retreat, you know, why retreat? But sometimes retreat is beneficial when you have to come back and restructure and re-strategize and re-strengthen and renew and rebuild. So a lot of times we may have to retreat for a season. We're not retreating permanently and running away. It's a retreat to rebuild and to re-strengthen and to restore ourselves so that we can get back out into the fight and protect the kingdom and do what we need to do. Lastly, who is the enemy we're talking about? This enemy is the KGB. In our world system, yep, they were the enemy at one point. In the kingdom, this is the enemy we have now. This group is the killers of God's brethren. They have been assigned to destroy God's kingdom by taking out everyone who resides therein, beginning with leadership. 2 John 1:7 which I'm going to turn to right now. Second John 1:7 says, watch out for the false leaders, and there are many of them around who don't believe that Jesus Christ came to earth as a human being with a body like ours. Such people are against the truth and against Christ. John 8:44 states that, let me find it here. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and a hater of truth. There is not an iota of truth in him. When he lies, he is perfectly normal, for he is the father of liars. And so when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe it. So we have to be very careful about this group called the KGB. That is why it is so important for us to be fed. Lord, help me. We need to be inspired by the word of God and know what God's word says and not fall for anything that is presented to us. The kingdom of God is perfect. The kingdom of God is for us. We are to establish his legislation, his laws upon this land. And we have opposition that does not want that to happen. So we must be fully aware, fully alert, and know who we are dealing with at all times. We must try the spirits. We must see if everything that is being said and done lines up with the word of God. If it does not line up with the word of God, we need to dispel it and not accept it into our being. We must be on the offense of every hand, on every hand, and forcefully take back what has been stolen from us, and to protect the kingdom and what God has so graciously given to us. We have that authority and power within us. A lot of us have lived through family, through years and years of things, and it has become the norm for us to accept things and just pass it off. Oh, well, this is the way family has always been. This is the way that this has always happened. But God says that is not so. We have the power and authority within us to take back what the enemy has taken from us, what he has stolen from us. By force, we have the key to open his territory to go in and take it. We have the key to lock it back. So we need to realize who we are, what our identity is, be able to stand, know who you are as Kingdom Mafia. Know what your responsibilities are. Know your weapons. Know how to use your weapons. If a weapon's in your hand, you don't know how to put the ammo in, you don't know how to use it, what good is it going to do you? Know your weapons. Know what they're used for. Know how to use them. Keep yourself covered in prayer. We hold each other up in prayer. Hold our leadership up in prayer. And with all of these departments in place, we can protect the kingdom and establish that kingdom here on earth, and it should overtake the kingdom that man has set up, because originally the kingdom was here first. God's kingdom was here first. We need to get back to that. Okay, I didn't hold you guys very long. That was the end of the sermon. Thank you. Is there anybody here that needs prayer? Are you not feeling well in your body or have something going on that you need prayer for that we can pray for you about before you leave today? You just lift your hands. Okay. Praise God. Everybody's doing well. Hallelujah. So I guess in pastor's words, you know, everybody be blessed. Be blessed and have a blessed and wonderful day. And we'll see you next time.